Edge is a paid program.
The viewpoints expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors.
Program.
The viewpoints expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors.
It's time for The Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lai. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Lott. The Edge Radio broadcast, and let's check our newsmaker line and see if we have Tex on the line. Tex, are you there?
Hey, Daniel, this is Tex Morse. How are you doing?
Very good, Tex. It's good to hear from you, and we were talking about controversial guests that we've had on the show, and I think that you fit really well in that category.
Well, I don't mind that at all. I have seen some of your guest lists, and you've had some very impressive folks, and the thing is, I like what your website says. Your goal is to discover the truth, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right, and I don't think all truth has been discovered, and I think in many cases we have to unlearn what we thought and was told to us to be truth, and I figure maybe we need to start at square one in some cases.
Well, I'm convinced you're right. You know, I've had a long, I'm up a little bit in years. I spent over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force, and even when I was in the Air Force Blue, among fellow officers, we knew that a lot of what was going on in the news just wasn't so. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten worse and worse with the successive administrations and conspiracies. And I'm afraid that Americans just absolutely are devoid of the truth. And frankly, we finally have some alternative media now. And no wonder they want to, they would like to take the Edge show and cut it off the air entirely. I'm positive of that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. In fact, one time we had a guest call in, and he said when he tried to call the show, he called our 800 number, and he said he got the answer machine for the NSA.
And they had a little electrical misdirection there, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean,
if you got them to call, that's hilarious. But no doubt about it. They tape the programs like this. They listen to them. And you know, Daniel, they spend billions of dollars, they waste billions of dollars, maybe they don't waste it if their goal is to keep the truth off the air, but they certainly are spending a lot of money. You know, I've had two or three visits by the FBI, I've had two IRS audits over the years, one of them lasted 4 years. How would you like to be audited by the IRS for four straight
years? No, thanks.
And you know, I've survived all of that, and we just keep right on going like that ever-ready bunny because we do tell the truth. But it seems to frighten the establishment to know that there's somebody out there that they can't bend like they can Fox News and CNN and so forth.
Yeah, and that group of people seems to be growing exponentially as people get out of the reservation to seek alternative news sources. And Tex, do you think at some point all of us going to get together, those of us who are finding out the real truth, and sort of make changes accordingly, or you think that we're just in for a ride and all we can do is know about it in advance?
No, I believe there is an incredible, I call it the truth movement, going on right now, and it seems to be spreading. And, you know, I remember the JFK assassination back in '63, Daniel, I don't know how old you are. I'm not even asking you, but that assassination, of course, at first, it was almost universally believed that it was a lone nut assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. It took many years for people to finally figure out, hey, this cannot be true. But now 9/11 comes along, and there seemed to be so many more people that were willing to question the government, question authority. Over the years, I think the resistance to the truth movement has grown. Now, whether or not we can overcome the momentum that the liars, I call them the Illuminati, the elite, they have a huge head start over us. But there's something to me, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe there's something supernatural about truth. And they may have a head start on us, and I'm not saying we can ever win big, but I'll tell you what, we're having some victories here, and more people are going to be listening to programs like The Edge. I'm convinced of it. And, you know, they're just turning off these other programs. I watch Fox News. I watch CNN, but I watch it mainly for entertainment. I don't go to it for real news. I know that O'Reilly or all of the other clowns out there, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and they're in the back pocket of the Illuminati elite. So I go there to see what big whoppers are they going to tell us tonight.
It's
sort of almost like a game.
Well, Tex, let me shoot this past you. It seems like one of our guests was saying that the advent of, as you say, the rediscovery of current news without the government and the institutional slant is compared to when the Gutenberg press finally got the books out of Latin into a language people could understand. There was a knowledge shift there, and the people in control were running for their lives and trying to stamp out that press and any books that it would write. Do you think we're at that place again with the internet and the explosion of alternative news sources? And do you think there's any way they can put that genie back in the box?
There might be. You know, there's some people who say, "Oh no, you can't put it back in the box." With the internet out, that's the end of the controlled media. Now, I wouldn't say that for sure, because keep this in mind, they are spending tens of billions of dollars in the high-tech area. You know, just as they spent tens of billion dollars in Star Wars, it's all going now into telecommunications, into spy systems, trying to figure out how to stop us. And of course, part of that will be on the social side. They will have to have new hate crime acts.
Yeah.
And these will, of course, all be passed for the best of purposes.
Of course.
So that you cannot incite people to hate a religious group or a race. But they will also be designed so that you will not be able to incite hatred of your government. And hatred of the truth, as they call it. We've already seen that, and Ted Kennedy, and Harry Reid, they're so desperate to pass this. It's really an anti-free speech act, Daniel.
Yeah.
But they're so desperate to pass it, they actually latched it on as an amendment to the Child Safety Act. They've got an act now to stop some of the horrible pedophiles out there, like the Jessica's Law. To put teeth into enforcement of crimes of child molesters and such. So what did they do? Well, Kennedy and Reid says now's our opportunity to pass this Hate Crimes Act. And again, none of us are haters out here. I think the listeners would agree with us.
Oh, yeah.
But remember, when they're taking away another man's freedom, even if it's for the best reason, so-called, they then have the right to take away your freedom and mine. So I believe they have a huge head start on us. On the other hand, there's all kinds of new technologies coming out. I noticed you had something called light year technology, phone service and such. So there is a possibility. And, you know, I remember the Soviet Union and Red China, they attempted to stop the growth of technologies. Remember, they wouldn't even let you own a copy machine in Soviet Russia for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You had to register your copy machine, explain why you needed a copy machine. And all of that went out the window. But remember this, the Michael Dell, owner of Dell Computer, the Bill Gates people, they have done what's necessary to co-opt them. You know, I think Bill Gates is just a computer nerd that wanted to just, make money, have innovations, Daniel. But he ran afoul of the big boys of the Illuminati. They said, we're not going to allow Microsoft to be independent. And they, the Justice Department went after him. Michael Dell is a big buddy of George W. Bush's. So they've Google, all of Yahoo, all of these companies.
Yeah, technology companies.
Are now, they've got a control. They've got their agents right there at the headquarters, I believe.
Yeah.
So do we have a chance? Yes, we have a chance. We've got to take it. We've got to work hard. But I'll tell you, time is a-wasting here, and we're going to have to expand very fast. Mm-hmm. But thank God we are.
Yeah. You say there, right? You would say right now we have a window of opportunity to level that playing field.
Yeah, we absolutely do. There's going to be some casualties. You know, there's an old saying, Daniel. I don't know if you agree with me on this or not. At first, when you become a dangerous person, and I mean a truth teller, that's what a dangerous person is, a dangerous man or woman. When you become dangerous to the Illuminati elite, at first they just ignore you. Mm-hmm. Then they try to ridicule you, scorn you,
right.
Laugh at you. Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, none of that worked. And then they begin to give you, some attention and begin to persecute you. And the last step, though, is we win. So I think they have now noticed us. They can no longer ridicule and scorn us because it doesn't work. And now they're going to have to persecute us, put us behind bars, call us potential terrorists, as if there was such a thing as a potential terrorist. And now they're going to have to escalate the violence against us. But I believe that would be their undoing. That might be the last stage. And we might just overcome this.
Yeah, maybe you can go with me on this. Maybe you skipped a stage there. You said this to scorn you and then to give you the obviously unwanted attention, but then perhaps they would exercise extreme prejudice in the next section.
That's true. Yeah, you mean by termination, let's call it?
Yes, terminate with extreme prejudice, I think, is a military term.
Well, I think they will get to that level. But here's the good news, too. There seems to be some truth tellers still left in the FBI and the CIA, leakers and such.
Yeah.
And boy, they've put their Negropontes and all of the monsters now in office, and at the NSA and the CIA, they're doing everything they can. But I'm an ex-military man, and I know a lot of officers, and they realize that there has been, let's just call it a silent coup d'etat, and the enemy has taken over our own government.
Really?
And so they're doing what they can too to fight back, trying to keep it without any violence. We don't want any violence. But I remember Vladimir Lenin when he established the Pravda newspaper. He actually said, and I believe it's actually printed on the wall at Pravda newspaper, which was is Russian for the truth, Pravda, which is a total lie, but they call it Pravda, the truth, their major newspaper there.
Right.
He once said that they could not tolerate free speech because words are more powerful than bullets. So think about that.
Yep.
Do we need guns, F-16 aircraft? No, I really believe at this point we've got words, and I think that's why they're so frightened of us, Daniel.
Yeah, and speaking of words, you put a number of words in a new book called Codex Magica, Secret Science, Mysterious Symbols, and Hidden Codes of the Illuminati. Tex, is this book the result of your research that you feel is going to reveal to the average person exactly what's going on with these signs that we're surrounded by? We don't even know.
Yes, I've written 42 books over the years, 42 books, and I've had three books that were number one best-selling books on the Christian bestsellers list. I don't expect this to be a number one bestseller because, you know, there's such opposition to it among the Illuminati, and they're going to try to keep it out of bookstores and such. So I had to write a book that I didn't care about making money from, that I didn't care if it went on the bestsellers list, because, you know, I know how to write bestsellers, and all you have to do is write a certain kind of book, and I have, you know, I've been blessed with that name power in the Christian market, at least. But I decided several years back, I don't care about bestsellers anymore. I just had this passion for truth. Mm-hmm. That's why I call it the truth movement. So this is sort of my masterpiece in a way, because this puts really over two decades of research into the conspiracy, into the Illuminati, into all of the secret societies. And Daniel, I started off actually many years ago, I don't know if you remember a book I wrote called Dark Secrets of the New Age.
Yeah.
To write that book, I went back and I studied all of the ancient mystery religions of Babylon, of Egypt, mm-hmm. Of Greece and Rome, and really even into the Orient, to Japan, the worship of the sun god there, into China, worship of the Chinese river goddess, and then down into Central and South America with all of the Incas and the Mayans. So I had to study the ancient mystery religions to understand what was going on in religion today and how religion was being perverted. But what I discovered at that time was that the secret societies had also borrowed from the ancient mystery religions. Freemasonry, the Rosicrucians, the Order of Skull and Bone, even the Bohemian Grove. All of them had borrowed from the ancient mystery religions, and all of these were tied together, and they used secret signs, handshakes, mysterious symbols, hidden codes and language, and thus that came out. Codex Magica really is a result of all of that. I have spent 5 years, it's the first book in 5 years, and I used to write two or three books a year, so you can imagine if this book took me 5 years to write.
Wow.
But there's over 1,000 photos in it, and if you could disprove, it's as big as a telephone book, it's a gigantic book,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
As you know.
Right.
If you could disprove half of this book, what would you do about the other half?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I mean, if you just had a partial amount of the truth, you've got to say, wait a minute, I've got to review a lot of things I've heard.
Yeah, you know, there are people out there that may take 1 out of 1,000 photographs or even 10 or 100 and say, oh, I don't really agree with you on this or that. And I don't mind those people. I like truth seekers. I like critics. I found that people who criticize me, Daniel, maybe you've discovered this too, they're my biggest friends. They make me go dig more and find more things.
Yeah.
So I don't mind criticism.
Sure.
But it's amazing. I'm not getting a lot of criticism on this book. A lot of people are saying it's just an astounding book. And people who have studied the 9/11 conspiracy, they'll find that's just you need to go deeper. Who did 9/11? Why did they do it? What are their goals? Are they members of secret societies? Was everything on 9/11 chosen for a purpose? Even the day? Was it astrologically significant? Those may be silly things to us, but remember, you know, I've noticed on your website something. You get a lot into mysteries and the UFOs.
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
Yeah. It's a certain percentage for sure.
Yeah. But I remember, though, back in the President Richard Nixon's administration,
mm-hmm.
It's now come out on the Nixon tapes, and this is very interesting, how Nixon was talking with his chief of staff, Haldeman, and some others, Colson, I believe it was, his counsel, White House counsel, in the Oval Office, and they were talking about how they were going to fight their enemies. You know, Nixon said, our enemies are out to destroy us. What are we going to do? And they finally resolved that one thing they could do is use their plumbers, you know, that's their sort of secret team there,
right,
to break into the National Archives and get in the safe and get a bunch of secrets out.
Yeah.
And Nixon basically said, you know, once they discover what really happened at the Bay of Pigs and at, the JFK assassination, the Pearl Harbor, you know, if we can get that out to the American people, you know, we mm-hmm. can win this battle.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to think about this. Well, you're president of the United States, Daniel. I would think the president of the United States can just get in his limo, drive over to the National Archives at the Library of Congress, and say, open up that safe. I'm the president. They would not even let him have access to the secrets in the National Archives. Now, that is weird. Now, that tells you, I believe there are things beyond top secret that they will not, that shows you the president, they want them to be all a bunch of stooges and puppets. So when people say, well, the UFO thing, I don't believe that. That's just a kooky people. That's just nonsense. Yeah, well, let's open up the safes. National Archives guy, open up the safe door and let the people in. But they don't want to do that. Even the President of the United States had to consider safe cracking, breaking into the safe at the National Archives. Now, Daniel, if that doesn't tell the American people something, this is in the Nixon tapes that have been released.
Yeah. So who is it that's controlling the door to the National Archives?
Well, there's a good question. They actually said during those tapes that the head of the archives, whoever it was, slept in the same room. He didn't even leave the room. Besides all the guards and everything, I am convinced there is absolutely a cabal of very, very powerful people. Some of them whose names we have never heard before. And I call them the Illuminati. They wrap themselves up in hundreds of organizations, such as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bohemian Grove, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, they are the rulers. They are the secret rulers. And they're in a mopping up operation now. They want to take over the world entirely, but they have not been able to do so, and I believe mainly because they have not been able to totally capture the United States of America and its people. Now, they may own the government right now, they may control, they still have opposition amongst military officers, a few of them, amongst a few FBI and CIA people, and amongst a lot of people like Daniel Ott and Tex Mars and your listeners.
Yeah.
And this is their major problem. And I believe it's going to take a huge a second 9/11, a horrible, horrible, maybe a nuclear explosion, so that they can frighten people enough that they will have justification for arresting us and putting us behind bars, so then they can continue on with their world empire.
Yeah, Tex, were you familiar with Larry Silverstein's role in the 9/11?
I am, maybe not as familiar as some other people, but I do know of the insurance fraud there.
Right.
And his pulling of Building 7, yes.
Okay. I received an email saying that he also, on the day that the trains were blown up in Madrid, he was making a business deal to buy the Sears Tower in Chicago. And you're talking about another 9/11. Then I got a similar email saying there's going to be a terror training exercise in Chicago early part of May. And as you're well aware, most people that know about 9/11 know that there was a war game being played that very day that strikingly was the synopsis of planes flying into buildings, and then you had Dick Cheney in a bunker somewhere misdirecting an aircraft to intercept the planes. So it is possible that the Chicago Sears Tower could be the next 9/11.
You know, I can understand that on a number of levels, Daniel. For example, I'm convinced that the explosion of the World Trade Center towers was a recreation of the destruction of the world. Let me clarify that just a minute. In Freemasonry, they have symbolically the two great pillars, Jochen and Boaz, and they're depicted as in ruins. And so, one of their tasks in the great work of the Illuminati and in Freemasonry is to rebuild the temple, okay? Of course, so that their world king will go in, etc. Now, so they have all of these symbolic rituals. I believe that the World Trade Center disaster was a planned occult ritual. It was literally the blood sacrifice of human beings, and they brought down the towers that you would think, well, isn't that the capitalist structure, the World Trade Center. that doesn't bother them so much. I believe they moved their computer centers and such out of the building, and so this was a symbolic destruction. Now we go to Chicago. Remember, I mentioned to you, and I bring this up in my book, Codex Magica.
Yeah.
Everything is done in magic. This is occult black magic, witchcraft. Now, in Chicago, we have the beast number 666. It's been planned for many decades. The zip code of Chicago downtown, right there on the riverfront, is 60606.
Hmm.
And the Sears family has, at least it is alleged, many occult connections going way back into the beginning of the Sears family. Now we have the Sears Tower. Even the very name Windy City, people think, well, it means that they're on one of the Great Lakes there, and they have all this wind coming in. But also the wind, or Moriah, is another name for the devil. He's the wind, the great wind, so the Windy City. If you go around Chicago, you see the architecture on the buildings, especially the older buildings, you'll see the devil's face in stone staring down at you all over the city. So I believe that they're even the choosing of the zip code for Chicago, 60606. I also have much information, Daniel, about satanic cults, you know, like the movie Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah,
that exists of some of the richest men in America in Chicago. And of course, you know, there's the mafia and all these others that are connected on somewhat lower, more obtuse levels. But so, yeah, I believe that I would watch out. If I were the people of Chicago, man, that Sears Tower, that scares me a lot because of all the occult connections and the possibility of ritual there.
Yeah, and now in your book, Codex Magica, you say that things are done in science and symbols. Have you seen George Bush give these said symbols?
Well, yeah, he constantly gives the horned devil sign.
Okay, now you wouldn't say that's the Texas Longhorn sign?
I you know, you might. First of all, though, he gives it constantly. And then Laura Bush, I show her in the book giving it. And then there's Barbara Bush giving it, and then of course there's the Bush daughters giving it. And so there seems to be, you know, there's a possibility of it being the Longhorn sign. But remember, he never graduated from the University of Texas himself.
No.
So what's that all about? Hmm. One of his daughters did go, of course, to the University of Texas. But I know even the foreign press in my book, and I have some articles and such from the foreign press, they believed it was a sign of the devil. Of course, the Clinton gave the same sign as well, but I have no doubt at all that George W. Bush is into the occult in a very big way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm from Austin, Texas, the capital of Texas, where George W. was the governor, and then there are a lot of rumors going around about George W. from his homosexual leaning to other things that have not made the national press, but were sort of talked about sort of privately here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah. Tex, in your book, you have the hidden codes of Illuminati in that. Now, when you do you have parts in there about the skull and bones?
I do, because the death's head, you know, the skull and bones itself.
Yeah. Okay.
Is an interesting symbol and has a great meaning.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been
and among all of these people, because they literally do worship the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have something about skull and bones. I wrote an earlier book called Dark Majesty. That book was an expose. I believe it was the second book ever published on the skull and bones. Anthony Sutton, a good friend of mine, passed away now. He did the tremendous book. Really, it was the first book out there, you know, called The Secret Establishment.
Yeah.
My book, Dark Majesty, which is still in print, which I think it went a little bit beyond Anthony Sutton, because it actually talked about the ceremony itself, about what goes on during the ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, I have to give thanks, Daniel. You know, a lot of people say, Tex, you're a great researcher, and I appreciate it. I'll take every credit I can, but I have to actually say, though, that I get great help from people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day, I didn't have a return address on it. I get this document, and it was actually the membership list of the Order of Skull and Bones all the way back from the time of its founding, back in the 1830s.
Really?
And, you know, and I did some corroboration to make sure of it, and sure enough, it was an actual membership list. I then gave it to some people, Eric Samuelson, Alex Jones of Prison Planet, or Infowars.com and such.
Yeah.
And they put it on their website. Now, I can't, you know, I can't get credit for that, Daniel, of having that list, because somebody sent it to me anonymously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get a lot of information like that, you know, over the mails and such, and I know you do too.
Yeah.
I'm very, very thankful for that, and I've been able to expose a lot of these things, like in my book, Codex Magica, thanks to the help of really hundreds of people out there that have a little piece of the truth, and they send it to me, and I try to put it together.
Okay. Well, then my question is on that. You know, I think it's widely understood that John Kerry and George Bush is a member of Skull and Bones, but that was in their sort of fraternity college days. My question to you is, do you think there is a reunion of Skull and Bones? Do they have to attend meetings, you think? Is there a special room in the White House even now for Skull and Bones meeting?
I don't know about in the White House, but certainly there's an island that the Skull and Bones order own a certain mansion there, and I forget the name of the island, but they do meet regularly. And of course, let's face it, both Kerry and Bush, you see, they choose 15 young men, rising juniors, others are going to be seniors at Yale University, and they choose them for membership. So they stay there in the tomb, that's T-O-M-B, which actually is a mausoleum of a building right adjacent to an old ancient cemetery right off the campus of Yale University. So these 15 young men in their senior year all stay closeted together as brothers there at the tomb, and they're given a stipend. They're given money, you know, for all their expenses and everything, and they stay in this tomb that doesn't have any windows, has these huge archaic doors on it. It looks like a mausoleum, believe me. Now, the interesting thing about this is they're not chosen because of their grades. Or their SAT scores, or any kind of accomplishments, because look at it. John Kerry barely got out of college, and in fact, his SAT score was actually so low that he could not have got into Yale University unless he had his rich, you know, family to get him in.
Right.
And George W. the same. Neither one of these guys deserved to go to Yale. I mean, they don't even deserve to go to a teacher's college in Missouri. If you look at their grades and such, and their accomplishments, which were absolutely nothing, and yet they were chosen for this distinguished, exclusive secret society, the Order of Skull and Bones. Mm-hmm. How did they do that? Well, let's look at it. George W.'s father, George Herbert Walker Bush, was also a bonesman when he was a senior. But wait, his father, the grandfather of George W., Prescott Sheldon Bush, was also a member, one of the exclusive members who was tapped to be in the Skull and Bones. Now, who chooses these 15 young men? It's not the 15 young men that are already in it that year. It's the alumni. It's those who graduated, the William F. Buckleys, the Senator Heintz, who, you know, went on and got killed in an accident. It's Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart. All the big names that have gone on and now are alumni, they meet every year, and they choose 15 of their own for membership for the next year.
Hmm.
So that's how they continue the dynasties going.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting that Kerry and Bush, now one of them claimed to go on to be a Democrat, liberal, the other claimed to be a conservative, Republican, but look what Bush has done in office.
Yeah, is there any...
Does he look like a conservative to you?
I can't say on this show, but listen, is there something significant to the number 15?
Well, the number 15 would translate numerologically to the number 6.
Mm-hmm.
They add the two digits, 1 and 5, and you just come up with the number 6.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the number 6 is the highest number of man, so it would be like a man-god. Then when you get to triple 6, then you get, of course, to the number of the beast in the Bible, Revelation 13.
Yeah. Tex Mars, when you're talking about these secret signs and mysterious symbols, and you know they believe in it, obviously, is it more of a Is it like a Boy Scout kind of like sign, you know, a salute of some kind? Or is there, in fact, in within these signs, is there power to contact the other side and get power from somewhere else?
Now this is the real key, what you're asking here, because many in the occult world themselves would tell you, and they've written many books, and I, by the way, in Codex Magica, I actually quote from, I give as evidence and documentation, scores and scores of Freemasonry and secret societies, dictionaries, textbooks, and so forth, their own authorities. So this isn't just what Tex Mars wrote, but what they actually say about their own secret orders. Now, it's interesting that they do admit that these secret signs, these symbols, these handshakes even, by these things, they're actually able to communicate with the spirit world, with the other powers, you see. So it's not just fooling around. It's not just playing around at all. Everything in Freemasonry, the 33 rituals of the Scottish Rite, each one is designed to invoke deities, I call them devils, but they would call them spirit beings from beyond.
Yeah.
So no, they believe that these things are actually effective, that they're powerful. And by the way, it's not only the Illuminati elite or in the politics or money or banking and so forth, but many of the celebrities, the world's most famous celebrities, sports stars, in the entertainment world, they also join the various secret societies. They study these things. For example, somebody sent me a picture, Daniel, just recently of Jim Morrison. Remember him? The lead singer of the Doors?
Yeah.
Jim Morrison, you know, sang the song, Baby Light My Fire, that was a huge hit. And now, you know, many in the occult world evidently, you know, he was very much into Satanism and worship of the devil and the occult. And they sent me a picture of him in his hand, and his hand was underneath his jacket, Jim Morrison's was.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the guy that died now, you know, Jimi Hendrix, a lot of the others died of that generation.
Sure.
But there he was doing what I call the hidden hand of Jabulon.
Whoa.
And he was doing that. River Phoenix, remember him? He was a young movie star that died early in life. He also is shown in Codex Magica giving this same sign. Now, this sign can be traced. I have pictures of Napoleon Bonaparte giving that same Masonic sign. So Jim Morrison, I believe, he believed that the black, dark powers of the occult world and the other dimension would pay notice and give him, you know, powers. These people are, in effect, Daniel, I believe this of all of these men, they are occult magicians. Some of them are not adept at it. You know, a Britney Spears or a Madonna or a Michael Jackson who get involved in the Jewish Kabbalah, which is a system of occult magic, obviously they're not very sophisticated in what they're doing, but nevertheless they are dabbling in black magic and witchcraft, and they will perform various signs and rituals and you know, so they themselves are involved in this. So it really sort of branches out. But we shouldn't think that a Madonna has great power in the occult world. I'm sure they find her very laughable. But she believes these things bring powers into her life.
Yeah. Well, as these people conjure their spirits, and in fact, one of the questions, we'll get into more of our questions coming in for you, Tex, in the second hour, but one of the questions was, there is a lot of talk of these type of evil acts from people in power, and somebody writes, they want to know, what should be the proper Christian response to these evil perpetrators?
Well, you know, again, I am a Christian. The Bible says that we're to have no part with the workers and works of darkness, but rather to reprove and expose them. Now, that's paraphrased, but you can read about it in Ephesians 5, verse 11. So, don't participate. In other words, don't get involved in trying to perform black magic rituals or these hand signs and symbols and so forth yourself. Instead, expose them. So, that's a two-part commandment in the Bible. But I think the Apostle Paul said it. He says, for we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. So So the devil does have certain powers that he uses, and I believe he rewards his disciples. I believe that the highest level members of the Illuminati are rewarded. That's why a George W. is president, or a Bill Clinton. I believe they perform magic. They make the devil happy. He's happy, and they're rewarded accordingly. Now, they may have to sell their soul. What should be our response? You know, the Bible goes one step further, and it says, without knowledge, men perish. Well, there we need to get knowledge. Now, I will admit, Daniel, it is a very frightening thing to get too deep into these. And I want to encourage people, make sure, if you're a Christian, you know, pray about it. Make sure it's what God wants you to do, because there's some people that just are not strong enough spiritually or emotionally to fight this battle, because it is a battle, believe me. And once you get involved in it, then you get targeted. And otherwise, they'll leave you alone. But once you start fighting these forces, then, you know, the battle is pitched, and you better make sure God wants you to do it. If God wants you to do it, then by all means do it. You'd be foolish not to. And I'll tell you one thing. I sleep good at night, Daniel. I don't lose any sleep. I'm very happy. As I've told you, I've had everybody from the FBI to the IRS come after me, and I'm still around. They haven't put me in a prison cell yet. I'm sure they would have liked to have done that. And I think as long as you're telling the truth, you're fighting evil. But I tell you, if you don't have God on your side, you better watch out. It's scary.
All right.
You've been listening to The Edge with your host, Daniel Ott. We'll be right back.